Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 139 is in the can. It's in the books. We are here to celebrate a very, very special day for all the ladies out there. This is a special Mother's Day edition of Orsini's Uncensored Mind.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, Jaff's old brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and I am kicking stools during my intro. That's all right, though. This is your boy, A.J. Orsini, and I'm here today to bequeath onto all of you episode 139. And why am I so chipper? Why is the attitude all the way up? What's with all the positivity? Well, today is a very special edition of Orsini's Uncensored Mind because we're going to be celebrating a wonderful holiday by the name of Mother's Day. And of course, I am blessed by the fact that I have got not one, but two beautiful, wonderful mothers in my life. Of course, my mom and my wife, who was the mother of my son. And I am super duper happy that I was not only able to get Mrs. O back on the machine, but I was also able to grab my mom for the first time and have her as a guest on my show. I had a lot of fun talking to mom, as you will hear. I had a lot of fun talking to my wife as well. You guys are going to get enjoyed to hear some of the stories. My mom went into the Wayback Machine, started talking about old school Orsini, guys. You guys getting a chance to hear the origin story, not from my mouth, but from the creator's mouth. You're going to get a chance to hear some of that stuff. And of course, my wife and I, we sit down, we talk about a little bit of the current quarantine life and things that we've been going through during that time. And we've shared a lot of memories. And there's a lot of things being discussed here on this episode that is very, very, very personal to me. And I'm very, very happy and proud that not only did this episode exist, because I can always go back to it and listen to it down the line whenever I feel down and I want to listen to the two most important people in my life discuss my favorite topic, which is me. I'll be able to go back into this episode and do just that. So this is all pre-taped. I taped an interview with my mom and then I taped one with my wife and everything got edited together here. So I will not be coming back to you. I did my sign off right at the end of the interview with my wife. So we are going to be on live next week, next Saturday, for Orsini's Uncensored Mind. We're going to do a mental health check-in. That's going to be next week live. So feel free to step by, say what's up. We'll talk a little wrestling, I'm sure. I can't do an episode seemingly without it. So we'll be able to talk about that and do mental health check, guys. So enjoy the interviews. Here's my mom and here is my wife. The two best mothers I know. So happy Mother's Day to everybody out there listening, and I hope you guys have fun listening and share some Mother's Day memories of your own. Go ahead and comment below, like, subscribe, the whole deal, and I will see you guys next week. Howdy. Hey, so I'm here with a special Mother's Day edition of the Orsini's Uncensored Mind show here, and my mom and I were literally just riffing about quarantine, because apparently that's where we have to start with this. This is supposed to be Mother's Day, and we're supposed to be talking about motherhood and the like, and we will, but my mom, first of all, thank you for being here with me, and secondly, how are you dealing with this quarantine situation? I know you just told me, but I need you to say it again.
Hanging in there, day-by-day situation, much like everybody else, just trying to keep safe.
You said you're wearing your mask to the store, you sure?
Yes, I am, sir.
Because nobody over here is doing it. Actually, over here, where we, because I'm in Brooklyn, so like there are stores that are open, but they all have these big fat signs on the window that say "No mask, no entry." And,
yes.
Yeah, and I thought it was a cool idea, right? So, because I wear my mask everywhere anyway, so I went into the store and it was a lady who had her mask on. That's how she got into the store. And her phone went off, so she went to answer her phone. So she pulled her mask down to answer the phone. And they told her she needed to put her mask back on. She goes, but they can't hear me on the phone. I said, okay, well then go outside and have your phone call. So the end result was is they tried kicking her out. Like, no, you have to, if you're in here, the mask has to be on. So they're pretty serious around here where I'm at. Are they that kind of serious over there? Are you seeing anybody enforcing anything over there?
Oh, yeah. They're real more serious here in Jersey. You know how they are. They're always looking to put somebody in jail, give somebody a ticket. You know, they're on top of you all the time. And I understand why, because it's dangerous. This virus is very worse. We've had the old, what was the last one we had like this, was the AIDS when it first came on the scene. And I was,
well, that was a while ago. The most recent one was swine flu recently, 2009.
Right, that's true.
But yeah, you were on the front line. You've been in the medical field for years.
I was in the front lines for the AIDS epidemic, which was almost the same thing. You couldn't touch each other. You can't kiss each other, you know, contagious like it was now. But this one is much more worse.
Why is this one worse?
Because it attacks your immune system really quick, and you don't even know you have it until it's too late to do something about it, which makes it worse. And it's scary because it's taking out young people, older people. You don't even know. Now they're even starting to say that even animals are starting to get it. So
yeah.
Could you imagine?
There was house pets. It was on the news. This
yes,
is the first
house
cat
pets
in New York. And I'm like,
it.
Really? Oh, God. When did you start in the medical field? Because you've been in the medical field a long time.
Oof. I started as a candy striper, they used to call them, back in the day at 15, and then worked all my years up to when you guys were born and beyond. Now I'm retired.
Yeah, she's retired from the game. What you got, like 30 years in? Yeah.
More than that. I told you I started like a candy striper. Yeah. That was like around 15 when you start from the bottom all the way up.
All the way up. And you've held multiple titles in the medical field, up and down, different hospitals, different states. Although
yeah,
my favorite time was obviously in Connecticut, but you know.
Yeah, that's why I'm telling you that my epidemic era was the AIDS era, because it was almost the same thing. You couldn't touch anybody. You couldn't kiss anybody. They were very scared with the AIDS. But this one went way beyond the AIDS epidemic. And I'm at the edge of my seat because I feel so guilty. I'm supposed to be in the front lines. They had people come out of retirement. Nurses that have been retired for years, that's how much people they needed, you know?
Mm, yeah.
And if it wasn't for being with your sister, I would have probably went, because what else do I have to lose?
Yeah, but you're
you know
a prime
what I mean?
Candidate here, though. I mean, you've got pre-existing conditions at this point.
Yeah, but when something like this goes on and you have that mentality, you don't think about that. You think about the help you can do for others. That's where I've
Absolutely,
always
yeah.
been headwise. So it's killing yeah. me watching it on TV and not being there. Nurses are dying because of it, too.
I was just going to say, it ain't killing you nearly as much as it's killing them. I can tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hanging in there. I just keep track of it. And
I have to congratulate you on something.
What?
I have to congratulate you. You won the sweepstakes. You won the sweepstakes. You were the woman that was chosen to give birth to me. That's what we're celebrating here for Mother's Day. You, my birth changed your status to mother. You would go on to have three more kids after me, but let's face it, you struck gold on the first one. I don't know what happened with the other ones, but
Lucky number one, right?
I mean, when you once you had me, you were playing with house money. You were good to go. You could have had as many as you wanted. But you did end up giving birth to me. And what's the story again? How many hours was it that you've been holding over my head for 37 years now? What is
that? Oh, my God.
The magic number?
15.
15, right.
15 hours at Bellevue Hospital in New York City.
That's right. I was born in the psychiatric building of Bellevue Hospital. Yeah, so that's the number, folks.
Hence the questions people have about you. That's going to explain why you are who you are.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, well, it's good to have you on the show because there's probably a whole bunch of people who listen to this show all the time who are probably wondering who hurt you? How did you turn out like this? And folks, you're listening to the person who did this, so we're gonna have to put full responsibility on her. You had me at a very young age. We're only 19 years apart, actually. So
I was married.
Yeah, I don't know why you felt defensive about that. Yes, okay, you were married. Let's make sure that's on record since we're gonna put this out for public consumption here. You were married.
Yes, because I'm a good girl.
That's right. You weren't a whore. You got married. And actually, you were married for about 2 years before you had me. So even after you got married, it wasn't...
Oh, yeah, yes, 2 years.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a spur-of-the-moment deal. You guys got to enjoy marriage for about 2 years until I came around and ruined all of it. From a very early age, I developed a particular obsession with something.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so why don't you go ahead and what was the whole deal with me and wrestling? What were your thoughts when you figured out, okay, I think he's really into this stuff?
Well, I was raised, as you know, with a Spanish family. And mm-hmm. What does Spanish families usually do? They around the TV watch wrestling since I was a young girl.
Yeah.
And then as you started to get older, I started to watch the Saturday WWEs and other types of wrestling because that's what I was used to seeing. Saturday nights were the wrestling shows on. It was usually on the Spanish channel. And then I guess you grew up watching that and you just started getting more attached to it where I didn't even have to put it on anymore. You were putting it on. And you start slamming things around and jumping off of tables and doing all sorts of crazy stuff and started to worry me because now you're getting violent and you're going to hurt yourself. I ain't got time to go to the hospital. But I tried to change the TV and put something else more for you. I said, maybe this is too much. He's getting out of hand. And then you started, as you kept getting older, first you started watching them on the sneak, and then I said, well, I'm just not going to fight it anymore, and the rest is history. Look where you are.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, like you just mentioned now, you're like, maybe this is too much. There was a point where you just said, you know what, I might as well just steer into this skid. It doesn't seem like it's going away, and here I am, 37 now, and... clearly haven't let it go yet. So what were your, because you said jumping around a lot, there's a thing that I used to do back in the day that used to drive you nuts, the one the jumps off the tractor trailers. You remember those?
The tractor trailer.
Remember when we used to live, it was in Maplewood, we used to they used to have like the little, there was an apartment area that we used to live in, that they were doing construction, they were dropping off these trailers that had like supplies in it, and I was jumping off the trailers. Swanton bomb.
Oh, the Swanton. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And then you had these little people, I'm going to call them little because, I mean, they were about your age, but these guys trying to do the same thing, getting hurt, parents complaining.
Yeah.
And I had to start to try to do something to you.
Because they were whack. That's why they were getting hurt, because they were whack. Yeah. They couldn't copy me because I was too nice at a young age. And the thing is like, there was what I was jumping onto were – at the time anyway, because it was the only one that we had available to us, it was a twin mattress. That's it.
Oh my God. That was in the front only of the dumpster.
Right. There was a I was jumping off of a trailer onto a twin mattress. That was it. Which means the accuracy had to be on point. And there were people hitting their hands, hitting their feet. Not me, brother. I was hitting mattress 100% of the time. Yeah, it wasn't one of those orthopedic ones either. These was like some kid bed mattresses, like literally like for little kids. These were like nothing mattresses. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know. I didn't think about it at the time. I mean, I was a huge Jeff Hardy guy, and Jeff Hardy killed himself, so I must kill myself. That's the way that it goes. Now that I'm 37, it seems ridiculous, but yeah. Because now as an adult, now that I'm in the business, I tell people all the time not to do that. But you've seen the other side of me.
You were definitely the problem child. Yes. Everyone else were too busy. I guess they weren't interested in nothing. They were more calmer than you were. They did things, but not. I had to be on top of you 24/7.
No, and then you passed out responsibility on the staff, so that's wonderful. who also?
I signed it all over to her.
Yeah, it's all over. Good luck with this shit. That's all that it was. I have a very fond memory. Maybe you can clarify more. When you used to go to work, there was a few times where you did some overnights, you know, because those happened from time to time back in the day for you.
A few times? I did those a lot.
Well, there was a few times where you brought me along. Do you remember those when you used to have me stashed away in like a room
sleeping
somewhere?
Sleeping in the waiting room.
And what am I doing in the other room, folks? Watching Raw.
Yeah.
I'm watching Stone Cold. The hospital is the place where I saw Stone Cold stun McMahon at Madison Square Garden. People would say, well, where were you on this moment? I was in a hospital. I wasn't being treated at the hospital. I was just at a hospital while my mom was working, and I was watching the whole thing go down there. You said you grew up with it just the same as I did. I always tell people my earliest memory of wrestling, because I when I do interviews as a guest, they'll always ask me, like, what was the first time, you know? And my earliest memory of watching wrestling was with Clark, Grandpa Clark.
Grandpa Phyllis.
Yeah, and Grandma Phyllis up in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. That he watched one night. You left me there for them to babysit me, and he had on WrestleMania 4, which was back.
No,
in,
he didn't.
Yeah, he did, because he was a big Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase fan, and that was the night.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was the night. Randy Savage, the Macho Man, he went coast to coast, yeah, and became the WWE champion. That was like one of my earlier memories. Back when. But even though I was a fan back then, I had never gone to an event until one day you decided, not only am I going to steer into the skid, we might as well go see one. And right. It was the Hartford Civic Center. It was a house show. And you have a very fond memory of that show.
How old were you by that time?
Oh, man. This was the summer or going into the fall of 97, so I'm 14.
Yes, exactly. Okay, go ahead.
But you have a very fond memory. See, I have a lot of memories from that show. It was a SummerSlam rematch, so the main event was Taker and Hart for the championship. I remember Mick Foley as Dude Love competing against Owen Hart. There was a lot going on. But there was another young, up-and-coming star with an eyebrow and a bull on his arm that you remember very fondly.
I was waiting for you to bring it up.
What exactly was your fond memory of this event?
That's what turned me around to this day.
This that be so bad. This
the nation
stuff.
Of domination.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You were big on the nation.
Yeah. Oh, I'm hooked to the nation. You're right.
it was the second version. So the one that she's talking about, guys, is Farouk, The Rock, Mark Henry, D'Lo Brown, Kama Mustafa, or The Godfather. That was the unit she was really into. Yeah.
That's what finally got me into the wrestling arenas with you guys.
Yes, inside the building.
We planned this as family trips, okay?
Yes. There, I've told the story here on the show before. The infamous, it's either the Light Bill or the Hartford Civic Center, and we went to the Hartford Civic Center. Yes. That's when you became a fan.
That's when I became a fan, and I still watch it today.
That's true. She does, actually. My siblings have fallen completely off, and my mom still watches it, though, from time to time. You're even watching that new show. You texted me the other night. You were like, oh, you got to watch this. The Big Show show. You're watching the
Yesterday,
Big Show show on Netflix.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I got so excited. He has a new show, right?
Go ahead. Plug away on the WWE. On Netflix, I think it is.
It's on Netflix, yeah. He has a new show. It's called The Big Show. And he's him. He's playing himself, a wrestler, WWE, blah, blah, blah. And he has a family in that. So I've been watching his show. It's really good. He's a good actor, and it keeps you interested and all that. But yesterday's show shocked me because out of the blue, it was something to do that he was going to do a promo with WWE and, you know how they were going to get the wrestlers together, whatever. So who shows up? Rikishi.
Oh, yeah.
And Mankind.
Mick, yes.
Mark Henry.
I was trying to think of it too, yeah.
Those three show up, and so they doing their thing, you know. So when they popped up on the screen, I jumped off the sofa. I'm like, wait a minute. I got to text Anthony. He's got to be seeing this right now. That's the first
I did see it. I saw it on I saw the clip on YouTube. I saw one of the clips on YouTube. They had sung the Backstreet Boys song together.
Yeah. But if you see the show, they have more. It's bigger parts. It's not like a little bit and then they don't come back to them, you know? They're in that episode, like the whole show with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it, just to see all three of them, and I saw them. Rikishi, I saw him without his thong. He was all dressed in his Hawaiian shirt and stuff and his little ponytail.
You couldn't recognize him without his ass out? Is that what it was?
I'm so used to seeing him in a diaper. And Mark Henry, of course. He's Mark Henry.
Right.
He was dressed down. And then when I saw Mankind, because you hardly never see Mankind in anything. They never put him down on anything. So when I saw him, I really got excited. So I'm like, oh, I got to tell Anthony this. You should see. I went crazy. Like, they're looking at me like I was nuts. Wayne's like, what is wrong with you? I hadn't gotten that excited since we went to our first show.
Oh, jeez. I wanted to see. That's the thing. Because the scene that I saw on YouTube is the three guys that you just mentioned got on the show. And they sang a Backstreet Boys song. And I'm sure.
Oh, that was the last part of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was part of the context, but I found that ironic because you kind of like the other band. You're a big
NSYNC. You mean?
Yes. You're a big NSYNC head. You were back in the day during the heated rivalry, you were an NSYNCer, if I believe that's true.
I still am.
And a lot of
Remember, I said they were singing a Backstreet Boys song almost at the end of the show.
Right.
I didn't say that they were that I got excited about it. I was excited about seeing them.
Yeah, there's a lot of people right now today. I think I spoke to you about this last time you were in my house. Currently, there's the WWE and there's AEW. There's All Elite Wrestling. And
yeah.
Old school wrestling fans, we're used to this, so we like picking a side. I'm on this side, I'm on that side. But these new school fans, they're like, well, why can't I just enjoy both? I don't subscribe to that BS, and it goes back to the music thing where back in the 90s, you were either on Backstreet side or you were on NSYNC side. Neither shall the two meet in the middle. And we were an NSYNC family. Now,
yeah,
wrestling was obviously an obsession of mine, but I had another talent that I used to have back in the day involved with the music. What was that?
Dancing.
Yes. people do not know because I have not showcased this ability in public yet, but I am one hell of a dancer.
Yes.
I am one hell of a dancer. As a matter of fact, again, people do not know, but I spent a small amount of time not only doing choreography, but helping people with choreography. Is this true or false a statement?
Yes.
Okay. Also true or false, did we or did we not go to actual NSYNC concerts?
Yes.
And this is the biggie, did I or did I not enter a contest for a radio station at one of those NSYNC concerts? And the goal of that contest was for people to demonstrate as close to the choreography as possible. And did I or did I not win that entire contest?
Yes.
There you go. All right, folks, I'll tip my cap. That's the end. Good night, everyone. No. Not only did I win that competition, but I chose the hardest choreography there was. Everybody was doing Turn Up My Heart. Everyone was doing I Want You Back. No, no, baby. I gave you the No Strings Attached. I gave you the entire opening to the tour. To the opening of the whole tour. That was my first live arena pop of my career because no one knew
everybody
how I knew
was
it.
Everybody was doing the old NSYNC choreography.
They were doing the easy ones, the ones from the music video.
You had the audacity to show up and do No Strings Attached. You
no
said,
prep.
No
prep.
No
we didn't
strings
know.
Attached, please.
We didn't know there was a contest. We actually got there just a few minutes. We weren't late for the show, but the doors were already open, so people were circulating. Things were going on. It wasn't like we were waiting outside. As soon as we got out of the car, we were able to go into the building. And if it wasn't for looking for restrooms, we wouldn't have seen the radio thing. It was off to the corner.
Right.
But as soon as we got in, they were like, hey, we're looking for anybody who wants to. I was like, all right. I started stretching. I was like, all right, let me get in here and see if I can get a T-shirt or something. None of this, bitch. Let's go. That actually happened to me and Steph. Me and Steph went to a concert, and it was a 90s concert here in New York, and they were doing a bunch of songs, and it was all the original artists from like the 90s, so it was great. It was a fun time, and they were trying to kill time for some reason. There was something malfunctioning or whatever, so the host went out there, and he was like buying time, and he had the DJ playing snippets of songs, like 3 or 4 seconds, and if you can guess it, you got a free KTU t-shirt. So they were like, okay, what's this? And they were playing a song, and there's people by the stage and then there's seats. Me and Steph were in the seats, and they were playing 3 or 4 seconds, boom, 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 boom. And every time they played it, I got the song every time. So Steph was like, you should answer one of these so you can get a shirt. I was like, I don't want to. Okay, and then I walked over to the stage, and they did it, and it was they played the beat, and it was Rice Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy. Like, I knew it immediately.
Oh,
so as soon as they did it, like, who is that song? And I raised my hand or whatever, and he called me, and he was like, you know the name of the song? And I named the artist and the song. And he went, oh, he knows the artist and the song. How does it go? And he put the mic in front of my face, and I sung the chorus, and the guy was like, oh, another pop. Because I'm the damn, because I am the king of every kingdom I walk into. That's why. And I won yet another radio contest because that's how I roll. So once again, congratulations to you for giving birth to someone like me, because that must be a fantastic feeling knowing that your son is such a winner in everything that he does. Can I ask you, for years you saw me as a kid doing all this goofy shit and all this bouncing around and being violent and all that other stuff. What were your thoughts when it got real, when I started actually doing this? When I'm in school, I'm taking bumps, I'm doing shows, I'm doing ring announcing, all this stuff. What was the thought process then?
The thought process was, first of all, I was proud in something like that, because what you're forgetting in this whole story, it started from the beginning. Who was the lunatic with children who used to lock herself in the room with a microphone and sing all the time with all these artists?
Oh, yeah, that would be you. You were quite the bedroom performer. Wait, that sounded wrong. I meant like musically.
Please fix that.
On a musical level. Not like as a profession. But you were a big music head. Yeah, I still hear the echoes of Patsy Cline in my head to this day. and the soundtrack from Grease.
And the dancing and the singing and all
Selena.
That stuff. And then later in the years, it came back to bite me on the hiney because, Lord and behold, you was hit with the bug. And I was, you know, I mean, you were sometimes annoying, but I understood and I enjoyed it. So instead of fighting it, I just joined you.
There you go. See, you got annoying with me. There you go. <It's> like, now I'm annoying thousands of fans around the world now.
Yeah, the other three never got, like, you and I are the ones that are the most, we're the same more than the other three. They're into their other own stuff, you know, whatever.
Right.
But you and I were into this entertainment thing and the music and the, you know, I know it used to get annoying for me sometimes, but I understood it. So I try to lay off a little bit, but, you know.
We had a conversation one time and it was about, because you said it yourself, like how many times did I lock myself in my room and do the singing and all that stuff. I like you said, we have similar habits in that point because I still do that here in my own home, you know. But I was able to transition that in front of an actual audience. And I remember you one time told me, he's like, damn, if I could have gotten over my fear of being in public, I would have loved to have done ABC. What is that, the one subtle difference between me and you, the fact that I was able to do it in front of people?
Well, I've done performances before because my love started when I was in school.
Right.
So I was in chorus. I was in shows. You know, like sometimes they have talent shows, but I've always been in a group. You know, like you're in a group of people. Like, let's say we got people singing with you. I was in a chorus for years, and we used to travel to different places to sing in other places. I was fine. Mm-hmm. But if it was me by myself, like a solo artist or a solo person, that wasn't me. Me was the brush in the room with the door shut, and then I would let loose, you know?
Let loose.
That was, yeah, that was my kind of my thing. But the music and the singing has always been my thing, which you at one point started singing too. So
yes.
I was like, okay.
Shh, but they don't know that part either.
You had the guts that I didn't have.
You're breaking kayfabe. Hold on. They don't know that part either. Hold on. The singing part. Well, they don't know that part. Hold on. They don't know that part.
Yeah, well, yes, you have a singing part. And like you were saying earlier, you did sing along with NSYNC, especially Justin and stuff, you know? So that's why I kind of understood you got it from me, because the other three, they ain't into none of that stuff. They're into their own other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I could understand it. And sometimes it would get annoying because you would start popping off right away and in the wrong time. And I would say, Anthony, shut up. Shut up. Not here. Not right. Be quiet.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something that we join. Like, we're more alike than you think. You know, you really look back, we're more alike than we are with the others.
Is that why we had so many battles back in the day?
Huh?
Is that why we had so many battles back in the day?
Yeah, because we believe the same thing. We're adamant about the same thing. When we make a decision, it's got to be that way and no way at all. It's you know, we clash, but we still got along in spite of everything. We're still talking today.
Yeah, we got a good relationship now. Absolutely. We didn't have a bad relationship before. We were just two strong-headed people that, you know, rubbed each other the wrong way a few times here and there. But as adults, it's gotten better because we both understand that now. But would we transition into, because what was your, I'll phrase it like this. I think you're a bigger fan of the stuff that I do now with the interviewing and the commentating as opposed to when I was taking the actual physical bumps. Am I correct in that assessment?
That I'm more...
You're a bigger fan. Yeah, exactly. Feeling better. That's an even better way of saying it. You feel better with me not in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, because you was accident prone. You was always walking around with a sling or something going on.
Yeah, I told that story not too long ago on one of my live shows, as a matter of fact. I was saying that everything below... as far as my love for this business, like everything above the neck, my mind for this business and everything is great. Like I've had legends sit down with me and tell me, fuck, you really know what you're talking about. But then like my body wasn't able to really keep up. No, I mean, it's my passion was always to be in this business and always be a professional wrestler. It was the business itself that changed that, because I think it was, you remember Joel back in the day, he was the first one. He was just like, I was taking bumps and bumps and bumps and bumps, and I'm getting beat up over here. And he was just like, you know, there's other positions in this business besides that. And the biggest thing I always took away from him, and I'll, regardless of how bad our relationship ended up being, I'll always give him the credit and saying he was the first one to really believe in the fact that I could talk. That was his deal. He was like, you can really talk, dude. There's other things that you can do. And I'm like, all right, so let's do it. And he was the first one to put a suit on me and give me a microphone and just let me do my thing. And I've been doing it ever since. So I know as a parent, you feel better because I'm not getting beat up. But at the same time, I guess when you see my stuff like online, you see all these people logging on and watching the live shows and sharing your son's shit and buying your son's shirt. Is there a sense to you like, holy shit, this guy really did this?
I always knew it was gonna happen.
You see,
that was gonna happen.
Yeah, see, I wanted to ask you about that too. Yeah, because there's a lot in wrestling. The common story in wrestling is, everyone always told me I couldn't do it, and here I am, and I proved them wrong. I never had that story. I always tell that on my show. I've never had that story. Every time I told people I want to be in wrestling, not one person in my family or friend or anyone ever told me, you'll never get there. I was always told, why aren't you there yet? You know, it's like, why, like, I always had the potential to do it. So people were like, well, you need to hurry that up. You always said that I could. You never once told me that I couldn't do this.
No, because I saw the potential. I know I saw you in action. I saw you in the ring. I saw you, you just never quit. You never quit. And when I saw that, I knew that it was going to turn out this way. Yeah, I'm happy that now you have your own show and now you can call your own shots. Because my concern wasn't you. My concern was the people managing you. That's my concern.
Yeah, you used to hear a lot of rants from me about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my concern. As long as nobody hurts you, you straight. Because then that New York side comes out and all bets are off. I don't care. I might be 4 feet 11. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah, my mom is extremely
short. Better than
short.
Anybody else. But you did. You followed your dream. I told you, follow your dream. And not only that, not only were you getting more into it, I started to join you. We all started to join you and started to attend your stuff as a family, which, you know, it was fun. I remember those days. Those are the best times we've had as a family. People go out to dinner. We go to wrestling matches, watch people get busted up.
And up until this year, when they gave us this garbage, poor excuse of a show, up until COVID ruined everything, WrestleMania is kind of like, it's our Super Bowl. Like, it's our big event of the year every year. It was always made a big deal in the house when we were kids. It's obviously, as you know, a huge deal in my house as an adult. Now I am a dad, and my son does not watch wrestling, but he watches WrestleMania. So he has a favorite wrestler now. This was cool. This was new to me. He's the one that brought it up. I didn't ask him, but he's the one who brought it up to me. Asuka. Asuka is this, the female wrestler, the Japanese lady with the blue and pink hair and does the whole deal.
Oh, it's a lady.
With the
typical
mask.
Yeah.
well, to be fair, he only picked her because the hair reminds him of Wild Style from the Lego movie.
Yeah.
He likes the way that she does things too, the entrance and everything.
That's
but
his
it was the
story,
hair,
and he's sticking to it.
Yeah, that's the early stages of it. Yeah. So, hey, look, this has been a whole lot of fun. Thanks for coming on the show with me. I didn't get a chance because of this whole deal, but I want him to do a special Mother's Day edition of my show. This is going to be Two parts, meaning you're up, and then I got one with Steph. So it's going to be two of my favorite moms in one episode. Is going to be fantastic. So I wanted to, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. Secondly, thank you for everything that you've done in 37 years of motherhood. This is your 37th Mother's Day, so congratulations on that. You'll be hitting your 40th anniversary in a few years, because I'm getting old, and I'm getting there. So thank you for everything you've done for me over the years and for those other knuckleheads that you did that we didn't get on the show yet. You know David's been on the show, right?
No.
Yeah, David's been on the show before. Yeah, when he was here.
But what number show is that? I would have loved to hear that one.
I think that's 47. I'll send it to you. I'll message it to you. I have the link for it, so you can listen to it. The episode was called...
Did he behave himself?
He was fantastic. He was nervous because he didn't know, because it was kind of an on-the-spot decision to do. It was one of those times when he was in my house.
Yeah,
he was in the house. I was just like, hey, you want to do an episode? He was like, well, I haven't watched in a while. I'm like, we'll just bullshit. So that's what we did. we talked about wrestling, obviously, because he was kind of a fan back in the day. So we talked about the stuff that he did know about. But then, obviously, we slipped more into some gaming stuff because it's David.
That was his forte.
Yeah, that was his forte. So we mixed some things around, told some old stories, and yada, yada, yada. So I'll send it to you. But you're my second family member now. So if I can get my two sisters on here, then it can be completely full circle. And we'll have the whole old family on here. So... thank you for everything. Happy Mother's Day to you. I hope to be seeing you soon at your new apartment, as soon as we're able to leave our home without dying from a flesh-eating disease. We'll be able to head over, because ever since you told me you were in Laurelton Village, I've been dying to get back over there. But you guys needed time to get together, which is obviously okay. But then COVID, so... I was planning on going over there for the February break, and the whole thing went down. We were planning on going there during the February break or possibly even during the spring, but all that's been canceled. So, but as soon as
the purpose moving there here was because Wayne wanted to do lifeguarding at the pool they have here.
Right.
And 2 weeks into being here, heck broke loose.
There you go.
So now there's no pool. There's
hell broke loose all around the world. All around the world.
And that was the purpose for that. When Alex came to visit, Titi was going to take him to the pool, you know, and that kind of stuff. But so much for that. We're lucky to be alive.
All right. Well, thank you, Mom.
I love you, and thank you for having me.
I love you too, Mommy. I love my mommy. And now, guys, I'm here for the second part of this interview here. And no, I won't be doing the intro, so you should be A-okay here. I'm doing part two of this diggy. This is the second interview for a special Mother's Day tribute here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I already spoke to mom number one, which was my mom, and now mom number two, my wife, Mrs. O, back on the show. Mrs. O, yay!
Why, hello, Mr. Orsini.
She's dead serious. She was saying that's her interview voice before we started. So for Mother's Day... this is your now fifth Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Number five.
And this is number five. And Mother's Day for you was a little different because your Mother's Day for you lands 1 week after your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Your birthday is on the 2nd. And then, of course, Mother's Day. Is it always a week after? I'm not even sure. I felt like this was quick. We got here fast.
Between day 2 and 10, that's about 8 days, so about a week. About a week.
Now, this Mother's Day and this birthday is a little different than all the other ones because we are in the middle
because
of...
COVID such balls.
COVID-19.
Has to ruin everything in everybody's lives, including wrestling.
Well, everything. Everything, pretty everything. Much life's at a hold still, well, for us anyway. There are those who are essential.
We're going through a viral World War III.
Oh, yeah. Didn't Trump say that? He's a wartime president.
Oh, God.
That's what he said. I am a wartime president now. So this particular birthday and this particular Mother's Day is a little difficult because we aren't able to do our usual social activities for your birthday, but I hope you've had a pleasant birthday and Mother's Day thus far.
Darn bowling. Bowling will have to wait till next year.
Bowling will have to wait. We'll have to wait one more year to see Bopple. Or not really. We can just wait until we open up again, and then we'll get a chance to see Bopple. Yes, Bopple. Only one person will laugh at that joke when they hear the episode. But yes, we have to wait a little while. I hope you've had a pretty good birthday and Mother's Day in the house.
I did.
Quarantine style.
I got cake. I got homemade dumplings.
Homemade dumplings. How'd that go?
I got to see the sun.
I got to see. Oh, yeah. She went out on her birthday. The first time, yeah, that she had really been out. We had a trial run. You know, when we first got locked down, we were taking walks to the store. But as things got a little bit more serious, that actually cut back to damn near nothing. You and Alex haven't really left the house.
No.
Up until your birthday. So for about a full month and some change, you guys were in this house nonstop.
Mm-hmm. And I was gifted with the sun.
You gifted? Yeah, it was the one day it wasn't raining outside.
Yep. And so we took that nice walk in the park.
I'm glad you called it nice.
And then I was complaining about everybody not wearing masks.
Yes,
and
apparently.
I was like, fuck you, and this is why we're in this mess.
We're one of the few people who are actually practicing social distancing and
for real
wearing the mask.
To the extreme.
Yes, so I asked my mother the same thing, and she reminded me of something that I completely forgot about. She was a nurse during the AIDS epidemic. I had forgotten about that she was. Your profession leads you to be able to do your job at home. What's better, being in the classroom or doing it from home?
Being in the classroom. So much easier. All your materials, all your manipulatives. You can do everything normally in a classroom. There's half the things we can do online.
Yeah. Not to mention that doing this online requires both parties to understand how technology works.
Yeah.
So when the other side not only doesn't know, but some of them don't even have, it becomes even more difficult to do. Yes. I mean, we're essential too, but we're home. At least we're essential from the couch. So, so this is your fifth Mother's Day. This is the fifth one.
Yep.
Your son, who is now doing math and reading at a first grade level whilst in preschool. That's how your quarantine has gone thus far. This is your fifth Mother's Day. Take me back, because I didn't want to ask my mom this question, because that would be weird. But I'll ask you. When you first realized you were going to be a mom, what was that thought process like for you? Like, were you nervous? Were you scared? Because there's people listening to this who probably haven't even had kids yet that are probably on the fence.
Yeah,
this is your chance to talk them straight.
That's a weird question, because you're asking me how did I feel, but I made the decision. I made the choice.
That doesn't mean that you're still not nerve-wracked about it.
You can ask that question to people who it was sprung upon them. Then they have to have that, oh my God, how do I feel?
This was strategic. This
was
on purpose.
This was planned.
This was a purposeful pregnancy.
I mean, 2 seconds in Applebee's. I was just like, you know what? I think I'm ready to become a mom.
Yeah, there
it
is.
It was ready.
Let's go home and fucking have a baby. All right, let's start right. It was like the scene from Selena. It was like, you want to have kids? Sure. All right, so how about right now? I just picked it up.
For real.
So that's how the process works, folks. You find a girl, you find a guy, you lay with each other, and you create a human being. That's how that goes.
You lay with each other.
You lay and you inseminate.
Is this PG or
no, this is uncensored mind. Right, yeah. So after I inseminated you, mm-hmm. and you went through the whole pregnancy and all that different stuff. Mm-hmm. We actually tried. A lot of people don't know this. We tried to keep the wrestling thing going for a little bit when he was, like, fresh and new. We were changing diapers at wrestling shows.
I brought him with me, yes, to a couple of shows. Had him in the carriage.
Was it jarring? It was a little jarring for him.
We put headphones on him, and it was scheduled during sleeping time, so he was fine.
The shows were scheduled during the sleeping time.
Plus, he is a very sound sleeper. Once he's out.
Yeah, once he's out. And that's something.
Out.
Yeah, that's something that follows him to this day.
So, yeah, he's still
once
out.
Once he's out.
Yeah, once
the party's
he's out,
on.
He's out. Yeah.
There's a couple of these episodes that I've done live in my house whilst he was asleep, and he's never really woken up. So your birthday and Mother's Day are kind of tied together, and we've been stuck in the house because of this whole COVID-19 situation. So your birthday and Mother's Day are kind of really tied together. And in my other interview with my mom, I congratulated her. I congratulated her for being the winner of a sweepstakes. She won the sweepstakes. She was chosen to birth me.
I heard that.
Yes. You are the winner of the other sweepstakes. The got to marry me sweepstakes. Yeah. You became Mrs. O.
No, I'm really lucky.
Yes. You got to, you and you answered twice. You said yes on two occasions.
Yes, twice.
And you said it almost 17 years ago. We were just joking a second ago that we had 35 on your cake, and I met you when you were 18. So, how do we explain to these losers who are listening to this show that can't keep a woman and can't keep a man? How do we coach these people on how to get to their next Mother's Day? How do we get the young pups ready for it?
I don't know. This was a miracle. It continues to be a miracle every day.
You would think, because the quarantine, the one thing I've been seeing about the quarantine is starting to show people for real. There is people who are quarantined together right now that are starting to learn the real version of themselves. I'm starting to see it online a little bit here, and I'm going to pause again. So, yes. So, do you have any advice for any of those young up-and-comers who might be feeling a little nervous about this upcoming birth or labor deal? It's all flashbacking now.
Do I have advice for people who are about to give birth?
No, just, you know, they're thinking about having a kid or already pregnant and the kid's coming.
Take your time, people, until you're freaking ready, okay? Even if it's thrust upon you, if you're not ready...
Be ready. You got 9 months.
Don't even be ready. If you're not ready, you're not ready. Make sure that you are ready.
She's pro-choice.
Okay? Because if you're not ready, then you are probably not going to make the best decisions or the wisest decisions. And then you're going to rely on a lot of help. And instead of being independent and being in control and knowing what you need to do, and you're just going to be sporadic and be all over the place and not know what to do, and then you're just going to trust what other people are saying because you're just, this was just thrust upon you. All I got to say is be ready, okay, and have a child when you're ready. That means ready mentally,
yeah,
physically.
The most important one.
And financially.
There it is. Okay. That's the magic word.
That is. If you can't afford a baby, don't have a baby.
You would be surprised how easy the process is to switch into parenthood when you got the finances for it. If you're financially secure and being able to supply the kid with whatever it needs and you got a roof over your head and you're feeding it and all that stuff, that's a lot easier of a transaction. If this was thrust upon you and you're just finding out now, and I'm guessing if you're finding out you're what, a month deep now, you're like, how many?
It's expensive.
He's the most expensive pet I've ever had.
His caregiver was about $980 a month. And that is on the cheaper end.
Yeah.
That was like through a friend of the family, like discount. That was on the cheaper end. And that's, you have to have $980 ready every month, and that's not easy to come up with almost a grand a month. That's not including everything else you have to pay for. Yeah. Okay, and now is when you become a BJ's member.
Yeah,
if you weren't one before.
BJ's is what got him into this mess in the first place. But you need to understand too, because not only just the money, but we live in Brooklyn, and our caretaker in the beginning lived in Manhattan, so we were traveling midday New York traffic every day. We were leaving. I was leaving 6 something in the morning to drop him off to be back at work.
Yeah, you
and then
can't be picky on. Like,
you got to be selective, because otherwise you're going to be those kids in the daycare that get strangled.
You have to be selective, but at the same time, like sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, like,
we did it because we trusted this person. That's another part of the equation. Like, you can't just leave your kid anywhere these days. You just can't. You got these kids being thrown around at daycare centers and hung up in basements and shit, like clothes and the laundry. It's ridiculous.
Be careful.
Yeah, you can't trust anybody, man. After the lady that we sent him to, we took him directly with the school that he ended up going to. We got lucky on that one. It was a brand new school, like just opening up. and it was just starting to take kids his age. It was brand spanking new. The place still had that new facility smell. The blocks had been untouched by evil children's hands just yet. Mm-hmm. It was actually worked out pretty good on that. But now, like, with this whole quarantine thing is really breaking it out. So you're a teacher online, but you're also a mom online. So mm-hmm. how has the being a mom and teaching your kid been for you thus far during this whole process?
It was very hard in the beginning trying to create a schedule that would work.
Right.
With parents, with the people you work with your husband, with your child. It's very hard balancing everything. And honestly, I had to say to myself, when I wake up, I have to homeschool my child first before I can teach other people. And to me, you know, my child has to be a priority also. Mm-hmm. Not only everybody else's child, but my child, you know. So I have to teach my child just like every other parent out here has to teach their own children now, pretty much, you know, depending on what their technology level is like, you know. So I had to take care of mine first, and then I will take care of everybody else's children.
And you have more than one child to take care of.
And
as far as teachers go, you have multiple students.
Yeah, but not as much as the general ed classes. But still, mine I have to really, I have to harp on them, and I have to really get on them, because if I don't, you know, they're probably not going to do anything, you know. So. You know, just like they are in the classroom. If you're not on top of them, they're not going to do it. They need somebody to be on top of them at every single moment. A lot of them need that dependency. And if their parents can't do it at home, then I have to provide that over the phone as much as I could, with them being distracted just like they are in the classroom and still trying to maintain their attention with no incentives like I do in the classroom. It's just my voice. I can't give them anything. I can't give them positive reinforcements, you know what I mean, as far as tangible things. So, you know, it's harder to get their attention. But I would have to say at least three, you know, of my 11 are doing quite well and have been working really hard. And so I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to give them a little prize. And I'm actually going to do a drive-by and social distancing, of course.
Be specific. This is Brooklyn. What do you mean by drive-by?
Drive-by. I'm going to drive-by, park in front of their house, and I'm going to put my package down and be like, come to the package, but wait till I get into my car first, and you open the package, and you take your prize. You know, and I just
That's the exact description of how I got you pregnant in the first place. But go ahead. What? I dropped my package off when you won your prize.
Oh, my God. But, you know.
Dad jokes. Go ahead.
It's been hard, but I've been trying my best.
You have something very unique, and I'm not the only one that says this. A lot of people within the job says this too. You always seem to have good relationship with your parents as it was when you were in the classroom. Mm-hmm. How has that relationship been now with these parents now that everything's being done at home? Is that making things any more difficult?
Well, in the past, like I don't hound my parents in the past. I don't call all the time. I handle a lot of situations inside the classroom. You know, so, you know, maybe like once or twice a month they may hear from me, you know, more if the child is doing really well and I give a lot of positive messages home, you know. But it's been harder now because now I have to call more.
Yeah,
you
touch
know,
base
and,
more often.
And touch base more often. And I'm not the only voice that they hear from. So they hear from a lot of other services.
I don't know if people know that, because we're working alternate assessment. So a lot of these, a lot of kids are getting not just teachers, but they're getting therapy sessions over the phone or through streaming sites.
Speech,
they're getting
OT.
Speech, OT. They're still receiving their services through distance learning. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
kids are seeing a bunch of different faces.
Yeah. But you know what? It's learning along the way.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I would call every day, and then eventually it was like, let's create a schedule. Let me call a certain amount of times during the week. Then it became, what time specifically do you want me to call so that you and I are both ready for our time slot? You know, just trying to make things more organized along the way. So that has helped. I have a schedule of who I'm going to speak with between 12 and 3 o'clock every day. Because no child is doing work before 12, honestly. I don't even think
most of them are not awake. Yeah,
they're not even awake by 12. So
they're living that quarantine life. They're getting up whatever.
Know? And then I'm hearing other people saying, "Well, as a teacher, you should be ready by 8:10." No, why should I be ready by 8:10 if the kids are not even ready and the parents are still sleeping? Okay, everybody's still sleeping until 12. At 12 is when people start waking up.
It's funny because if a student called you at 8:10, you wouldn't hang the phone up. You'd answer the phone and you would still do it.
I would still do it.
Which is a good thing. The problem that I have is you'll answer the phone at 6 p.m. That's the problem that I have.
Yeah, I do.
You can't turn it off.
Like just last night, a kid was like, "Hey." And I was like, "Hey, how are you?" "Oh, I'm good." "Oh, that's good. Anything planned this weekend?" "Yeah, it's my grandma's birthday." "Oh, really?
Grandma's birthday."
"Oh, what are you going to do?" "I don't know." "Well, here's a fun activity you can do that's easy." That's my interaction for the day with that child.
Okay.
You know, just giving them something fun they can do for their grandmother over the weekend, since academically he has not been on par with what we need to do.
Okay.
You know, but you got to do what you got to do, though.
Last question on the whole work thing, because I really want to get your opinion on this. The school system here in New York, and I get listened to all over the place, but here in New York, they made the decision on a Sunday. Then they closed it for everything shut down as far as the schools go for a week. And then that Monday, okay, now we're going to start distance learning. Was a week long enough to prepare for this?
No, they were not closed for a week. It was they made the decision on Sunday, all schools were closed on Monday. They made us come into the school Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Right.
We were
but you were still planning
Friday.
That week.
Yeah, but it was not enough time. I like because more than half my students were.
Seemed like it was more jarring for them than us. Like, what are we supposed to do with our time?
Yeah, it was more like trying to get things together and hard copies quickly as possible.
Because, again, not everybody has
not
laptops
everybody has
and iPads
technology.
And tablets.
So
yeah.
I had to figure out in about 2 days what was the most important topics that could be taught easily via the computer or technology and that their parents can easily teach as well.
Right.
So I decided.
And you did it for a month, right? Because when you first went back, they said April 20th.
Yeah.
That was the initial diagnosis.
I was hoping we would go back by April 20th. And
how do you feel about that now?
Here we are. I want to go back to
No, you
want to
go back, but you don't want to go back literally right now.
I don't want to go back right now. I want to make sure that the
it's safe
school
where as safe
is,
as can be.
Sanitized first before I go.
And that's going to be a while. That might take all summer. That's probably why we're not going back in the summer either.
Yeah.
So are
we going to talk about me as mommy or as teacher?
I said that was the last question as the job. I figured it was something that people want to hear about, your experiences with that.
No, let's talk about the fun things I'm doing as mommy. Because I'm not only teaching my son. We're doing fun things, too, at the house.
You're going to ruin my segue, goddammit. That's why that was the last thing I was going to talk about, because you were prepping for that.
Okay, well,
which means you didn't get a chance to prep too much for him. You have somehow managed to come up with the most creative shit ever.
Oh, my son has started cooking with us during Corona.
Yeah,
so
I didn't like
cooks.
That. I didn't like it at first.
He was my big helper in the kitchen. He likes cutting and peeling and mixing, and he's been doing a great job with that. He's starting to bake. He baked cookies and brownies.
Would you consider him
donuts?
A mama's boy?
Yes. He is my son, but he's also your son, he says. He's both our sons.
Yeah, he pities me on occasion.
He does not pity you.
He
loves
throws
us
me a
both.
few mercy
is it
hugs.
More like 60-40? Yes.
That's exact. 60-40. That's cute. I get 40. That's nice. That's way more real estate than I think
but
I actually have.
We've been doing more desserts. We've been doing lots of arts and crafts.
The arts
we've
and crafts.
Been coloring.
The arts and crafts. You find a lot of stuff online for this. Like I think I've posted a few of them on my actual personal page. But the things with the colors and the cups with the napkins.
Oh, because we also do because. We do science experiments. We try to make it fun. So we did the colors.
I did
the
liquid solid gas with him for like a week.
That was really nice. Cool. And then with the next unit, which was plants, we tried to plant a potato. We tried to plant an apple seed.
The potato thing started sprouting. We didn't realize that.
That was fun.
We went to throw it out, and then we took it from the cup. The bottom had a bunch of roots and stuff.
But unfortunately, we can't find soil because all the flower shops are closed.
Yeah, and the store that we shop at usually had. Actually had soil in the past, but they haven't had it in a while.
They put
more of their money into the bird food and seed and stuff, but not soil, so they haven't had a chance.
So we couldn't actually plant our potatoes.
But they still sprouted something over
but
there,
so you know cool.
Pumpkin seeds in the window. We got orange pit seeds in the window.
We're brain popping it. Magic school bus time. We have movement. Dance every day. We exercise
like crazy.
Go noodle. So we keep him active every day. Yes. He runs a lot. Okay? So we do keep him active. We always do something for at least 25 minutes. We move.
Yep.
So even though we're inside, we move. He's either doing exercise with Dad. He's dancing with me. He's doing obstacle courses with Dad.
Yeah, I shared that one and Ian had fun with that one. We shared the obstacle courses.
I just bought a board game, so we're going to play a board game. I mean, I have board games in my closet, but they're not for his age. So I bought one for his age, Candyland, classic. Yeah.
Classic Candyland right there in front of us.
I tried doing Battleship, but he was not with the Battleship.
Me and Mom ended up getting balls deep into the whole Battleship deal and really going after each other on that one. He's big on being outside, and he's big on being in parks and stuff like that. Is that something that we're gonna have to ease back into when this whole thing is over with? Easing back into different places like that.
Oh, going to different places.
Yeah, parks. Because that was a big part of our routine: indoor playgrounds and stuff like that.
He is going to seriously take advantage of all of that.
So yeah, he's gonna take advantage of all.
He is going
places.
As soon as this thing lets up. He is going to.
I was making that joke the other day. It's like we can't ever stay in the house again. We have to go out.
But you know what? We were always out though.
We were active before. Yeah,
we were always active before, but we always made it a balance. Saturday we went out.
Sunday we stayed in.
We had a balance, and now he just doesn't have that balance.
I actually miss Billy B's at this point. I'm ready to go.
Oh yeah, I'm ready to go to Little Chubbs.
Little Chubbs.
No one think poorly.
Yeah, you've said Little Chubbs packages and prizes. You all over the place with all this.
But, you know, it was a place right nearby, 5 minutes away, and it had just enough material for him to run around, you know. Arcades, oh, my God, all those germs. I don't know if I would go to a Chuck E. Cheese for a while. But
I don't want to go to Chuck E. Cheese in our neighborhood anyway. All of our Chuck E. Cheese's suck over here. Everything's always broken and all the time. You said you made some homemade dumplings. Yeah, I asked you earlier how'd that go, the dumplings, because that was your birthday deal.
That was my birthday deal.
Right.
It went.
Okay.
The first batch, the meat inside tasted like cooked ground pork, but it wasn't that much seasoning. But I did forget to add salt and pepper. The next day, I was like, fuck that noise. I'm adding the salt, the pepper, the garlic powder, the onion powder.
Just putting it all in there.
But I think it needed the ginger.
The Chinese seasoning, man. I'm telling you.
Or that. A little bit more soy sauce. But, you know, I messed with it. And the second time, it was better. Yeah. It was better. It went from a 4 to a good 6.5.
Yeah. We have a Chinese supermarket literally outside of our window. It's like right there across the street.
Nah, but the police are there.
But
like,
I've been hassled by the police on 2 occasions now walking by that store. All of the stores in our area, I was just telling my mom earlier, I don't think it made the interview, but it's very hard to social distance in New York. That's why we never really leave the house, because everybody's kind of on top of each other. There's very few open spaces. So there's a lot of stores here with lines to get into the places so that they can monitor who comes in and who comes out. So the supermarket that I just said across the street here is that the Chinese supermarket always has a line, because that store really sells a lot of what the people in this neighborhood use. This is a predominantly Asian neighborhood. So there's always a line outside that door. And regardless of all the stores that are here, the cops sit in front of that supermarket. They don't sit in front of Rite Aid, which has a line. They don't sit in front of the Italian supermarket, where we get most of our stuff anyway. They're parked right here in front of that Chinese supermarket right there.
Because honestly, so there goes your honestly, five seasonings. Honestly, I think deep down inside, if the cops weren't there, there would be no line outside. They would all go in That's and not shop true. As
when
usual.
I, when I've seen the, there's no, I was out today. There was no car there, and there was, and the line was actually small today. I think they started, they opened up both sides now. They're starting to open up a little bit more.
There's a lot of people in there still.
Well, your Mother's Day plan is, as far as the gift, is you have found this website that turns children's drawings
into a dress.
Into, well, dress is one thing. They have
dresses,
different things,
shirts.
Right?
Yeah, it's lots of different things. But I figured a good thing to kind of like remember this Mother's Day would be for Alex to kind of draw a design, and they put the imprint, the design, the picture onto the dress.
Right.
So I thought that would be a nice creative arts and craft activity we can do one day, and then it can turn into a gift. Pricey though. But still, it'll
probably
be a because
of
memory,
the custom, whatever,
you know?
Whatever, right?
And it's,
yeah.
It's,
I'm worried
and it's something
because
that
this
he
is not
can
really,
say, oh, I made that.
I'm worried because this isn't really a clothing company per se. Dress is nice, but they're really more of a graphics arts company. And I am concerned that the dress will not get all your womanness because you've got you a thick
but
lady
that's why,
with some hips here.
But that's why the cut of the dress looks more like a sundress.
Okay,
and
flowy.
And it doesn't even look, it doesn't even look like material like for a sundress. It looks like it's made of cotton. So I figured I would just wear it inside the house. It would be what Hispanics call a bata. Okay.
There you go.
So I would wear it as an bata. Indoor, you know, inside the house, yes. You know, pajama, bata to wear for inside the house, you know, or maybe I'll even throw it on like over a swimsuit. You know what I mean?
Ah,
after going somewhere,
like
I can
throw a thing
just to throw on top,
okay.
You know,
that makes
a quick
sense.
Change of clothes. Like if I take him to the park real quick for sprinklers and I get drenched. Oh, okay. I have my backup to throw on. Real
Which
quick.
Happens.
You know, it, but it doesn't actually have to be a dress. Remember, it's designed by a kid. So I wouldn't wear it for actual occasions. You know
right,
what I mean? Just
right,
for like
right.
fun things. So, yeah, I thought that would be nice. Plus, you know, us watching a movie together, you know.
I got you on
a
show.
Movie.
I got you on a show.
Oh, yes.
I turned her.
Yes.
I got her around, folks.
So during this quarantine, I've gotten the chance to watch and binge watch two shows.
Okay.
Hubby was nice enough to just let me veg out in the room all day, kind of away from the fam while they did stuff in the living room. Because I was like, how many more hours do I have to watch Alex build stuff in Minecraft? I was just like, so I went to the room, or I snuck in the room. And
snuck. She just got up and went to the room. She didn't tiptoe, like, she didn't hide in the
no,
shadows.
No, but sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And then.
Oh, she just played her hand.
I know.
I didn't know that. That's the setup.
Or the other setup is, I'll be right back.
Oh, well, see,
but
I'll be right back
I'm
is
not,
obvious. I know
I'm
that.
I'm not going to be right back.
That's the setup. It's like, I'm going to tell him I'm going to be right back, but I'm not coming back.
Exactly. I watched two shows, and it didn't even feel like I honestly felt like I was just watching two or three episodes, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I was like, is this it? So I saw two shows that I knew Anthony wouldn't like. I know his
right.
style, and I knew he wouldn't get into them. So it was a mommy thing, and like just for me.
Right.
But he then put me on to something, and it was something he thought was funny because he tried to put me on to something before, and
I've tried this before,
and
with
I've
you,
shit
and
on
it.
Work.
And you did. You
and
did.
I shit on it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was actually quite cute. I shit on it a lot.
Not as much as you shit on some of the other shows that I've pitched. This one was more of the tamer shits. I'll give you that. It wasn't as over. Like, if I was to put Ruby or something in front of you, you'd be like,
no,
okay,
but I've
no.
never watched Ruby to shit on it.
Still doesn't stop you from
shitting
on
it. I just never started it. I'm like, nah, I'm not. That's not my type of thing. I'm not even going to start it.
Yeah.
But, see, I even forgot the name of it.
Community.
No, the other one.
Genlocked.
No, I haven't even watched that either with you.
Forgot which show. What are you talking about?
The one I shit on constantly. I'm like,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That's
I shit on Brooklyn Nine-Nine all the time. Because he always puts it on. And he's like, I'm going to put this on. It's funny. I'm like, it's not funny. It's funny. I'm like, it's not funny. No, this episode will do it for you.
It's hilarious.
No, it does not do it for me. I don't know why it does not do it for me. But Community.
Community, you've come around.
I've come around. He put on a couple of episodes, and I like them. Yeah.
And now we're going to start it for
nice, clean comedy.
Nice, clean. It's not that clean, dude. We were just watching the episode. For those of you who have seen Community, because I've talked about Community on the show before, the episode with the video game, the 8-bit version of the episode where they were looking for Pierce's inheritance, and we were in a game designed by like an old 70s white racist dude, and it was just, it's over the top, but it's hilarious. So yeah, I got her onto that. So we're quarantining and we're finally binging together. Oh, did Sex Education fall under the quarantine? Was that like at the very beginning of it?
Yes, Sex Education.
So we did binge that.
Yeah, and we binged it together.
Yeah, we did binge that. I had forgotten about that. Because I think we said yesterday that we hadn't binged anything but besides you did. But yeah, we binged that. And I wanted to see, you watched it without me, essentially. The one with the girl in high school, the Indian girl. I forgot her name.
That wasn't your type of show.
No, it was. It was hilarious. What was the name of that show? You forgot.
Never Have I Ever.
Never Have I Ever. Right. On Netflix. Right. I wanted to actually see that. I still may go back on my own time and figure that out. Look, this is episode 139, I want to say. Mother's Day 2020. We've salvaged. We've made the best of our situation. But Mother's Day, birthday 2021, what are we doing? What do you want to do? Are we going to balls out? Are we going crazy? Because we're going to be vaccinated by then, right? So that's the idea, hopefully.
We're going bowling.
We could bowl do you want to wait a full year before you hit a bowling alley? No, is that what it is? Because we could bowl before that.
I want to go bowling. I want to have a couple of drinks. I want to bowl. I want to have a good time.
Okay, and we're inviting people.
Sure.
Okay, because you and I have this horrible luck when it comes to inviting people to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Even the very people who are listening to this show, hopefully, will understand that they're in this group too when it comes to inviting different people. So, look, you've been my wife. I count the whole 17 at this point, no? Because you were my wife at 09, but that discredits the first 6 years of the bullshit.
I was being wifey before I got the ring.
Yeah, exactly. She was doing preemptive wife shit before that.
I was doing I gotta keep her things. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. She just said on the air, she used to do the keep me things.
Oh, that's not.
That's what she just said.
I didn't say used to.
I said I was doing the
keep.
There you go. You just repeated it. I was doing. You just repeated it. I was doing the keep me things, folks. No need to play the tape.
Shade at me.
You're a wonderful teacher. You're an awesome wife. You're an awesome mother. I don't think I make this comment on my show all the time. I say I don't think there's anything that you can't do. You're pretty skilled at just about everything. Do you have a weakness that I don't know about? Or are you just like me, just awesome at just fucking everything?
No, I have plenty of weaknesses. Plenty.
Two of us in our awesomeness.
I am not perfect. I need to work on myself.
Everyone needs to work on themselves.
So let's see if during quarantine I can work on myself.
Everyone needs to work on themselves. Everyone needs to better themselves. As great as you are today, you can be better tomorrow. I'm thinking about doing a mental health live episode. Just to get people up here to just
my mental health is down the toilet right now.
Because of the quarantine, right? Everything
of the quarantine. I got issues.
You got a lot of anxiety
because
of this. I'll give you that. Oh, I have noticed that. I've never really seen you as anxious on a daily basis. Like you're afraid to turn the TV on because of all these different news reports.
I'm afraid of him going into the hallway to get the mail
or throw the garbage out.
We've been throwing the garbage out.
Shifts.
Okay, I'm like, look, if you're gonna leave the house, you can do everything all at once. So you only have to leave once a week. Yeah, I've been getting a little panicky, a little too in my head. That's why I'm saying we all got issues. But yeah, oof.
All right, well, that's the end of this here. Next week, I guess we're back live, right? Because you've been trying. Folks, she's the one actually convincing me to do as many lives as I've been doing. I mean, I've got a lot of great responses from people, and they like when I go live. But I think you've been more for the live stuff than anybody else.
Look, there's a difference when people perform live to when there's nobody different. Around. Exactly. The energy's different. Everything's
and
different.
And I'm very interactive.
You are very interactive. You feed off of people. You know, whether they're saying stupid shit or they're saying good shit that you can agree with,
that
you
mostly
feed off of people. And it just makes for a better product. Not that your product was bad before. Your product is awesome.
Because you're not saying that.
What?
Because you're not saying that, right?
Saying what?
That my product is shitty without
not saying that.
Clarify for
I'm
the
clarifying.
Record.
I'm clarifying. Your product is awesome.
Your product is fine. It's just better.
You know, it's just better when you have people to bounce ideas off of. Like, you're better when you talk to me and you say stories to me and you're just vibrant.
When I vibrate you, it makes more sense.
I thought you said your mom was hearing this.
She's been stuck with me for over a month, guys. I can't turn that off.
I've been seeing how many BJ memes and lingerie memes.
So she has received this. That's like one of those situations where it's like, so you have gotten my mail. Okay. Yes. Listen, folks, when you've been married this long, you got to laugh, right?
You got to laugh. Oh, my God.
And speaking of Mother's Day, we have to continue our parental needs here because the boy is not asleep. We usually do this when he's asleep. Mm-hmm. But we snuck it in just so we can get it on time for the deadline here for the day for Saturday at 9 p.m. So this is episode 139, special Mother's Day edition. Again, next week, I'm looking at the calendar right now. That is the 16th, I believe, which is 7 days.
Ooh, Scooby-Doo weekend.
Oh, yeah, Scooby-Doo. We're going to scoop it up because there's a lot of celebrities voicing these characters, and I want to see how they did. Mm-hmm. So 1 week from today, I'll go ahead and name it now because that's kind of the vibe I'm going for this show. I'm going to do Mental Health Check episode. That's what we're doing. Next week is episode 140. Nice even number. So we're going to do some mental health checks. I'm mentally health checking in with the squad of O next week. Live on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind page. So check it out next week live. I've got some other stuff that's going to be coming out. I'll let you guys know. I want to take this time to wish all the young ladies out there a very special Mother's Day. I hope you guys enjoy your time. I don't know what you could possibly be doing because I know we struggled with it, but we made it work. We hope you guys make it work as well. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for downloading. Thank you guys for sharing. And, of course, thank you guys for enjoying episode 139. Happy Mother's Day, y'all.
100 episodes now, pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's T-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.